Hey Olive, what's up? Rusty here. I'm at Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, and I just wanted to reach out and express my gratitude to the military ministry at Olive Baptist at Warrenton and let you guys know that I love you and I'm praying for you during the season. Y'all are awesome, and I'm so thankful to have started my career with Warrenton and just come to know the Lord with you guys. It was a privilege. I'm always praying for you, and I hope to see you guys soon. Love you.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Jesus is alive. We're going to celebrate that today. So wherever you are right now, join with us in singing, celebrating our risen King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, sing it. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you. church family, I'm sitting outside the Ronald McDonald House here in Pensacola. This is an organization that provides shelter, meals, and care for families with children and loved ones staying at local hospitals undergoing critical medical treatment. Because of your generous giving, we were able to provide meals for the families that are staying at this home. And because of your tithing, we are able to continue to serve our community during this time. If you're interested in learning more about how we as a church are loving our community and serving, follow us on our social media at Olive Baptist and see how we are still being the church and how we are still shining the light of Christ no matter what circumstance we are walking.
Well, thank you, Andrea, for encouraging us today, and the ministry of Olive continues to go on. Thank you for joining us this Easter morning. Man, isn't this different? Usually this place is packed full of people, but today's, of course, a different kind of day. But thank you for taking time to be with us on this marvelous Sunday morning. Our Lord is risen from the dead, and we're glad that you have come to join us there in your living room, wherever you may be tuning in today. Grateful for the singers that are here with us as we lift praise unto the Father. Hope that you'll join us as we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this good day. I want to pray. After I pray, we'll continue in our worship time. We've got some videos to roll out showing you a few things that's still going on here at Olive because we're still the church. And ministry still goes on. And we need your involvement in prayer, in giving, encouragement, and a thousand other ways. So you continue to be the church, and let's go forward together. And soon, we'll be back in this place. Father, I give you praise today. Thanksgiving for a good day. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not in the tomb, but rather on the throne. And thank you that you are praying for us this day. We give you this worship time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality.
But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting?
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. God of glory, my moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs.
Thank you, John. Amen. Appreciate you and your team sharing with us today. Those of you that are worshiping with us, I encourage you to take your Bible and go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We've just finished up what I have called the 20 days of prayer leading up to this day, Easter 2020, and we finished early this morning with sunrise as we open the Word of God, look together for a few moments, and then we come to Easter morning worship, and thank you for being with us as we share the Word of God together this day. We're in Luke 24, and I want to begin reading in verse 1 and read the first 12 verses, Luke 24. You follow along in your copy of the Word of God. The Bible says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter, oh yeah, the one that had denied the Lord, had heard these words of resurrection, and verse 12 says, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Now, dear friends, the issue today is not this empty room, but rather the issue is an empty tomb. He is not there because he has risen from the dead. Now, this year, this room is empty, and you are at home for this service. But this is not the first time it happened this way. For you see right here in this text, Peter had gone to the tomb. He stooped and looked in. He saw only the linen that had held his Lord there, and he was gone. And the Bible says, Peter went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So you see, you're not the first one to spend Easter morning at home. Peter was the first one to be at home for Easter. He went back to his house and he was marveling at what he had seen and what he had not seen. He saw the linen, he saw the rock rolled away, but he did not see the body of Jesus. And he went home, and he marveled as he thought about the doctrine of the resurrection. For you see, friend, the resurrection, the doctrine of it in Scripture, is the life changer. It is the linchpin of all theology. Either Jesus rose from the dead, and we are followers of a living Christ, or it's all a hoax. He's dead to this day, and he's just one like everyone else. But we that follow Christ, that resurrection doctrine, that is the life changer. And it was in all of the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 5. So we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of his what? His resurrection. Philippians 3 and verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, as well as the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And all through the book of Acts, I mean, it's just resurrection after resurrection after resurrection. Just listen to a few verses there about resurrection in the youthful church in Acts. Acts 2 and verse 24, but God raised him up again. In Acts 2, verse 32, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Acts 5 and verse number 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. Acts 10 and verse 40, God raised him up on the third day. Do you get it? God raised him up. God raised him up. God raised him up. Somebody at your house ought to say amen right now that God raised him up. It is the message of the New Testament. So what was on Peter's mind when he sat at his home the first Easter morning? He had been to the tomb, no Jesus, and he went home, the Bible says, marveling at what had happened. what was on his mind, and today what should be on your mind, and what should be on this preacher's mind on this Easter morning, 2020. I want to show you three things I believe that were on Peter's mind that day. And after I finish, I'm going to kneel in this altar and I'm going to pray for all of us. And this wonderful music group is going to come back and sing for us as we end our worship time on this Easter morning. But I want you to think with me today about three things I believe were on Peter's mind and should be on your mind. I know they are on mine today. Number one, I think Peter was thinking as he sat in his home, as you sit in yours, he was thinking on the promises of God. Look in our text back at verse number 7. While those women had gone there early, and those two angelic figures came, and they were saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They were pointing back to the words of Jesus, to the promise of Jesus. We find it more specifically in Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, where Jesus, Matthew records these words, "And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.' And they were deeply grieved." Hear me. Jesus made the promise. He would fall into sinful man's hands. They would nail him to a cross. They would put him in a tomb, but he would not stay. He promised that he would rise again. This morning, you should think with me on the promises of God. Jesus made many promises. And I'd encourage you just to go sometime, maybe to your computer and Google the promises of God. There'll be scores of them come up. And you can just read through the promises of Almighty God. I just want to give you four of them very quickly this morning as we think about these promises. Jesus said, "I will forgive sin." I don't know who all's listening today, but I want you to know that you, as well as this preacher, every one of us are sinners, and we need our sins forgiven. And Jesus said if we would come confessing our sin to Him and believe by faith that He would forgive our sin and cast them as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says He put them behind His back. He will forgive your sin. Number two, He promised not only to forgive your sin, but to forget your trespasses. He doesn't remember way back there. I've noticed this week, because of high school seniors, that they're not going to be able to have the end of school. And so people have said, in honor of the seniors, post a picture of your senior year on social media. Put it out there. My wife asked me, "Are you going to do that?" I said, "I don't know. I've been trying to forget that for all these years. I'm not sure I want to remember that. I'm not sure anybody want to remember that. There's some things I want to forget." Well, let me tell you, friend, what Jesus does to your sin, He forgives it, and then He forgets it. He casts it away. He doesn't dredge that up as we try to. His promise is He forgives your sin. He forgets your trespasses. Thirdly, He says, "I will never leave you alone. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is with us in this coronavirus shutdown, difficulty, many losing jobs, being just a tough day and having to stay in and be isolated, not being able to be at church on. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus is with you. Right where you are today, if you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, His promise is, "I will never leave you." His promise is, "I'll forgive your sin." His promise is, "I'll forget your trespasses." His promise is, "I will never leave you." Number four, quickly, His promise is, "I will come again." Glory to God. He's coming again. The day is coming. when Jesus will step out on the eastern sky and he is going to come and draw us like filings to a magnet. We'll be drawn up to him in the rapture when he comes a second time. It is his promise. His promises are true. Today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you that you come and take Jesus by the hand and take him at his word and claim his promise that if you will come and believe by faith, he will by grace save you. I want you just to call on his name. You say, preacher, I don't think you just need to do like the old hymn. I ran it off this morning, Brother John. I just took this, and it's an old song we used to sing. It's written way back in the 1800s by Kelso Carter, called Standing on the Promises. I love stanza number 2. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. You need to stand on that promise today, that Jesus would save you, never leave you, and will come for you. But if you've never trusted him, I want you to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer right here at the beginning of this sermon. I'm going to pray, and if you've never prayed, ask Jesus to save you. I want you to pray right now and ask him to save you. If you need to come home to Jesus, I want you to pray and ask him to save you. Just bow your head. I'm going to bow mine. Close your eyes. I'm going to close mine. And I'm going to pray, and you pray in your heart words like these are exactly. These are just pray these words today. Father, I confess I'm a sinner. I know and believe that you love me, that you would save me, and I believe on you today. I receive your grace and ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, dear friend, if you prayed that prayer with me today, let me know. You can text me that answer. Just take your phone. 94,000 is the number, 94,000. Just put that in as the number, and then text in the message the word Savior. Some of our people will be in touch with you. We'll get back to you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. Week after week, we've had people doing that and encouraging them to follow after the Lord. Again, 94,000, and the word Savior. You just plug it in. The promise of God is he'd save you if you'd call on his name. Secondly, what was on Peter's mind there on that first Easter? Not only the promises of God, but the power of God was on his mind. Now just think. Peter's sitting in his lazy boy, leaning back. He's in that little house wherever he lived. He's contemplating. He goes back to the ladies that brought him this message. Who were those ladies? The Bible says in verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene. Secondly, Joanna. And thirdly, Mary, the mother of James. I can just see Peter as he thinks through, oh my goodness. If God can change them, he can change anybody. Mary Magdalene. Who was Mary? We learn about her in Luke chapter 8. The first two verses, we learn about Mary. Listen to it. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And verse 2 says, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was called Magdalene because she was from the city of Magdala. That's where that comes from. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. John Wesley says she was a harlot of her day. Demons in her life, and God changed her by the power of the grace of God. Peter's thinking, my goodness, if he can change that lady from the gutter, he can change anybody. But also Joanna was there. Who was Joanna? We learn from the Word of God that Joanna was married to Chusa, C-H-U-Z-A. Chusa was the steward of Herod, according to the Word of God. She lived in the palace. She was not like Mary Magdalene, down and out. She was up and out. Oh my, she had purple around her. She was married to this one that waited on Herod. And yet God had changed her life, and now she was helping with the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I'm just thinking, Peter's looking and saying, Mary Magdalene, my goodness, the power of God. Joanna, my goodness, the power of it. Listen to me, friend. Today, Easter, I want you to think on the power of God. Jesus has the power to save anyone. Yes, indeed. He saved you. Jesus has the power to unite any division. Some of you sitting in your home today, you're listening with some people in your home, and you guys have been cooped up in that house. You've had a falling out. You've been on each other's last nerve. On this Easter Sunday, you need to go to that one and say, I'm sorry. Say, preacher, I don't think I can do it. Yes, the power of God will give you grace to do it. Some of you have had long grudges against other people. The power of resurrection can unite you and bring you back together. Don't you dare die living in that division. There's the power to save anyone. There's the power to unite any division. There's the power to restore any backslider. Some of you, you're listening, you wouldn't dare come in this room. But you click a button and spend Easter morning with us, and we are honored that you would be a part of worship at a place called Olive today. We want you to come here. You may not feel comfortable, but we want you to know the door's open. We love you, and when we begin to meet again, we want you to come. But you say, Pastor, I'm so wicked. I've gotten so far away from God. I used to go when I was a little boy, and I went to Bible school and camp, and the Bible calls that backsliding. I've just moved away. Hebrews says that you've drifted like a ship that's been untied from the dock, and you've just drifted away. Come home to Jesus today. Come home to Him. The power of God is there to reach out, to take you, and to bring you home. I pray with so many people that are like this, that raised in the church, and they say, preacher, I don't know what to do. I'm just away from God. Come home to Him. Come home. I'm telling you, there is the power to change your life. There's the power to save. There's the power to unite. There is the power to restore any backslider. Right there in your home, I challenge you, come to Jesus. And when you do that, if it's what you want to do, again, pick up that phone. Text me at 94,000, just the word Savior, and tell me, you're coming home to the Savior today. Let me know it. I need to hear from you today. You'll bless me. You'll encourage me, but we want to bless you back and encourage you. 94,000, that's the number. S-A-V-I-O-R. Just put that word Savior in. Let us know on this Easter morning you're coming home to Jesus. Peter is there. He's sitting in his chair, and he's thinking on the promises of God. Hallelujah. He's thinking on the power of God. But now, quickly, I really believe what was pressing on Peter's mind more than anything was the process of God. The process of God. So Peter's there. You know his story if you've read the Bible very much. Just hours before this, he's told the Lord he'd go anywhere. He'd even die for Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And when they arrested Jesus and brought him in that courtyard, a little girl came to him and said, you were with him. He said, no. He denied him three times, and then that rooster crows. Peter, the Bible says he went away weeping because he had denied the Lord. He's sitting in his home. It's Easter morning. Jesus has gotten up from the dead. And Peter, the last thing he did was deny the Lord. What's going through Peter's mind? I'm telling you, I think in his head, what's the process for me to get back? How do I even find him if he's really been raised? How do I get home? What's the process? So Peter does what every good man in the South does when he needs to think on some stuff. The Bible says he went fishing. He got a boat and he went out fishing. And when he came to the shore, there was a man on the shore. His name was Jesus. And Jesus invited him and said, come have breakfast with me. And Jesus began to talk to Peter on the shore of Galilee. They sat down and they ate together. And he looked him right in the eye and said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? The second, Lord, you know I do. Feed my lambs, tend my lambs. Peter, now listen, third time's a charm. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I do. Then tenderly look after my sheep. And then he said to him, when he got to chapter 21 of this text, he had invited him to breakfast. And in verse 19, he then looks at Peter and he says, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said these words to Peter, follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus is saying to you this morning. You know what the process is of getting back to God after you've failed? Have a conversation with him. He'll ask you this question. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Listen now, do you love me? Yes. Then care for my sheep. Coming home to Jesus, two things are involved. First is personal surrender. You have to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And secondly, there is corporate ministry. If you're going to get serious with Jesus, you don't just step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm following you. You take that step. But the next step is care for my lambs. That involves taking care of corporate ministry. Here at Olive, we invite you to come home and follow him. But dear friend, even when we can't meet, we're still in the ministry business. We are still the church. Just this week, we fed I don't know how many foster kids. Chef Bob made up food for these folks that needed food, and we helped them. We're reaching out to widows during this time. Some of the people most vulnerable, we're still doing that work. Out at our ministry village that's out back here, we keep that food bank going for people that are hurting and need it, and the church continues to go. The mission of the gospel continues as we share in these services and other ways. Brother Mike, who's down at our Warrington campus, is still relating so much to those young sailors and military personnel. The mission goes on. If you follow him, then you care for his sheep. That's why your giving is so important to keep the church, both at Olive and around the world, going. We have things we need to do in ministry and mission that must carry on. Even when we're not gathered here, we're going there with the gospel. And so I want to thank you to my Olive family. Last week, you were phenomenal. What an offering that you gave online and mailing it in and dropping it off. And some people calling and a few people went by and picked it up for them and brought it. You see, when you do that, the church is still the church. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, follow me. This morning, if you're ready to follow Jesus, one more time, pick up that phone if you hadn't done that yet. Go to your text message. Maybe you're an older person. I wouldn't even know how to do it. Well, if your grandson's there, just show him. He'll show you how to do it this morning. some teenage boy, 94,000, Savior. He would save you today. Just send us that word. We'll reach back to you and we will help you as you make that personal surrender and then get involved in corporate ministry. Some of you say, preacher, I've been saved. I just want to join Olive. Good. Send me that 94,000 Savior. We'll get back to you. We'll let you join the church today. You ready to come and put your membership here? We've had several do that in these weeks online of just saying, I'm ready to be a part of the family of God called Olive. Well, we'd love to have you as a part of our family. Text me. Let me know. Peter is sitting in his house and he's thinking the promises of God. He's thinking the power of God. Can God change even me if he can change Mary Magdalene? Oh, yeah, he can do it. What's the process? How do I make these steps? And Peter finds breakfast and he finds an invitation. Well, today I extend that invitation for you to follow our Lord, unite with our family, and let's do together what God has called us to do as followers of the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to come right here and I'm going to kneel to pray. As I say often, this altar's filled. Today you may just need to kneel right there in your home. When I kneel right here, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, this wonderful group of singers are going to sing one more song. I think you'll love it. This is the best news ever, friend, that Jesus rose from the grave and he invites you to come to him, to follow him, have your sins forgiven, and be a part of the family of Almighty God. I'm praying that you will send me that message at 94,000. You say, preacher, I don't even know how to do that. Well, write me a letter this week. Let me know. Go online. You can find my text, find my email address, and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Just let us know that you've trusted Christ, and we'll reach back to help you. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing. While they're singing, that'd be a great time to send that message during this song and let us know that you, on this Easter morning, have answered yes to Jesus when he said, will you come and follow me? I'll pray here, you pray there, and let's do business with the King. Father God, I love you today. I thank you for your blessed word. And Lord, I thank you on this Easter morning that you are not in the tomb, but you are on the throne. Thank you that you extend your nail-pierced hands to us, that if we will believe that you would receive us today, that you would forgive our sin. Oh, God, I pray for Olive Baptist Church. God, help us in these unknown days. Lord, we're just learning how to do ministry in this mess. But, Lord, you are your best when we are at our weakest, and we find ourselves there today. And we plead for your power, for your unction, your glory to be upon us. Thank you. You've entrusted the best news ever unto us. Bless these, my friends, that text us and email us and write us to tell us today they're trusting you fully. And I pray for them now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't give up and hope that your good is good enough. Head down, keep on working. If you can't earn it, you deserve it. Some say push on through. After all, it's the least that you can do. But don't buy what they're selling. It couldn't be further from the truth. What if I were the one to tell you that the work's already been done? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were the one to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news, it's the best news ever. Some say don't ask for help. God helps the one to help themselves. So press on and get it right, otherwise get left behind. Some say he's keeping score, so try hard and try a little more. But hold up, if this weren't true, explain to me what the cross is for. What if I were the one to tell you that the fight's already been won? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were the one to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news, it's the best news ever.
I'm Sam Schwenke, and I'm out here with Sam Harris and Sam Dickens, and we're helping our widow, Ellen Smith, today. Today we're doing a bunch of yard work to help her out. Amidst this virus and amidst everything going on, we still need to be connected, and we still need to love our neighbors and reach out to them. So this week, we're so thankful for you, and we're still the church, and I can't wait for the day where we can stand side by side worshiping our Savior together. Have a good week, church family. Love you.
Hey, my name is Sean Pillay, and I'm glad that you could join us here today. I serve as a minister of evangelism and discipleship here at Olive Baptist Church. And as we do every week, joined with some of my friends and co-workers here at Olive Baptist Church, great friends of mine, and I'm sure you know them. John Huff, welcome to our time together today. Please share with us what you do, and I'm going to tell you how grateful you are to our church community.
Yeah, thank you. I'm John Huff, the Minister of Education here at Olive Baptist Church. So I help lead our connection groups and Bible studies, and then also minister to our college students.
Uh-huh. We're so glad to have you, John. And then we have another John. We have four Johns on our church staff.
At least.
And at least,
yes.
All right? So John, we're so glad to have you with
us
today.
Thank you. I'm John Lowe, and I'm the campus pastor at our Warrington campus on the west side of town, where we're just directly north of the Naval Air Station. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be here with you today.
John, I cannot be more excited about what God is doing 12
Amen.
Miles away from
yes.
the main campus.
Right.
Thank you so much for leading our team so well.
Thank you.
In shining bright the gospel of Jesus Christ in another part of our city.
Right.
We are so grateful for you and for your leadership in our campus.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you are watching, you recognize the fact that this is the third year we have another campus on Warrington, and God is doing some amazing work there. Really enjoyed Pastor's sermon, the best news yet, closing that song. And
yeah.
what a way to sing. And we are at home. And Jesus talked about at home for Easter. I never knew that Peter was the first guy
wow.
that was home on Easter. And that's so cool to look at it. And the church in the book of Acts, they always gathered around and talked about the resurrection
right.
and the power of the resurrection. And sometimes we don't talk about that. And many circumstances and crises and problems dominate our conversations. And it's so important for us to talk about this important event, which is a foundation of our faith, that Jesus is no more in the grave. You would agree with me, John?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard many people say it, that Jesus is not any longer in the tomb, but he's in the room with us.
Yes.
And
yeah.
actually, Peter, he's marveling at what he's seen, and he runs home to his house. And he continues to marvel. So I think we're in the same position Peter is, Jesus is in the room with us as we marvel in our homes. The same resurrection power that changed his life changes our life as well.
It's so important. Pastor talked about the promises of God and what was going through the mind of Peter at the home. And the same thing is going through our mind. You know, in this season, John, we're singing the song Waymaker.
Right.
And everyone's, you know, that song is in the buzz right now. But Jesus is not only a waymaker, he's a promise keeper.
Amen.
Amen. And I know that you experienced, John, in your life, the promises of God and how he has come through for you.
Absolutely. It's just amazing to think that when Jesus says something, he keeps his promises, and he kept that promises that he would go away, but he's going to come back and take us to be where he is. And the resurrection is just a precursor of that. He came out of the tomb to serve us, to bring us into a deeper relationship with his Father so that we can glorify him and honor him in everything that we do and say.
Yeah, it blows my mind. It blows my mind that our God, and he can be your God today if you make him yours, rose from the dead. That's why he can keep the promises because he is alive. And Pastor spoke about four promises very quickly. He forgives sin. He forgets your trespasses. He will never leave you alone, and he will come again. You know how important is number three? I think about he will never leave you alone in this time that we're going through, in this crisis time. If you paraphrase that, you think Jesus will ever walk out on us?
Absolutely not. He is the resurrection and the life, and he gives us life. He speaks to us through his word. And that's why it's so important that we approach him every day to go to the word, to hear from him, to get his plans and purposes for our life. Even in these days where we may be sheltering in place, at least we can hear from our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his word. And we can be about the things that he's called us to. Maybe that work right now is primarily on our knees, or maybe it's writing notes or sending texts or making phone calls to stay connected with people. But Jesus does prepare a place for us so that we can come to be where he is one day. But in the here and now, he has work for us to do, and he doesn't leave us alone in this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good word. Good word.
Yeah, I appreciated what John said there. And really, Pastor talked about that promise, I will never leave you, and then I'm coming again.
Right.
So John talked about that eternal life that he promises that one day, we will have those glorified bodies and be with him forever. But the promise is I have him now. Not only do I have eternal life in the future, but I have eternal life right now because I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, comforting me and empowering me to live the Christian life now, even though it looks a little different maybe than our normal day to day.
Yeah. You know, we talk about the promises of God and the amazing promise that Jesus said he will always be here with us. And friends, he is with us in the storm. Read the Gospels. Jesus is continuously with his disciples. And Pastor also mentioned about the power of God. And Jesus has the power to save.
That's right.
If ever you doubted Jesus, I want you to know that he has a power to save. And you may be asking Sean or John and John, how do you know? He saved me, a wretched sinner like me. He saved me. And Pastor also talked about drifting away. And sometimes in this time of crisis and fear and anxiety, we can so quickly and easily drift away because of so many of negative conversations that's going on. Or maybe you're paying too much attention to the news and you have all this negativity, but we need to be anchored so that we don't drift away. And I know at the Warrington campus, we have so many young professionals.
Right.
We have so many young military families. And thank you so much for encouraging each week that we should be anchored in our faith.
That's the best news yet, that Jesus is alive. And that he does dwell in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He guides us into all wisdom and all truth. And that is the best news yet. And we need to major on those things and less on those things that we see through our television sets or the things that we read on the internet.
Yeah. Come home to Jesus. Many of us came to know Christ on Easter. And sometimes our first worship experience was on Easter. Come home to Christ in this crisis. He will never leave you. He has a power to save.
Yeah.
And you know, Peter, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times, not once, three times. And Peter is always a big mouth Peter.
Right.
You know, you always have a friend in the group that he just says whatever he thinks just come out of his mind. And Peter was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus meets him in John chapter 21. And the process of God, Peter, do you love me?
Mm.
And he said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, John, sometimes we need to just allow God to love us.
Yeah.
We have fallen so short, and we just need to allow God to love us.
Yeah, and it's powerful, that love that he has for us. It's the power to change lives. Mm-hmm. So we saw that, as Pastor talked about, all the way from the down and out to Mary the harlot, to the up and out, Joanna, that power and that love reaches everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that no matter which side of town you're on, no matter where you're watching from, the power and the love of God reaches.
Absolutely. I have an old album. I love to collect old vinyl records.
Yes, you do.
And Andre Crouch is and the disciples, Jesus is the answer for this world today. Mm-hmm. Above him, there's no other. He is the way.
Right.
Jesus is the answer in this crisis. But you got to believe and be convicted that sin is the greatest problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus is the answer. He rose some 2,000 years ago so that he can be the answer today.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? And sometimes we move our problems from sin to the crisis.
Right. Yes.
But you agree, John, that we should keep on looking to Jesus.
Absolutely. And look what Peter did. He was fishing. And he came to the shore, and then breakfast was there with Jesus. I think Peter begun the process of considering what he had done. Those three times he denied himself, denied Christ, and then he was fishing. He was introspectively considering who he was, who Jesus is, and what his life should be moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a great illustration Pastor gave us during the sermon to help us see that we always have to abide in Christ. We have to mm-hmm. walk with him. We have to do an inventory and come back and see where we are in relationship to him so that we can be the people that he's called us to be.
Hey, John Lowe, thank you so much for joining us today. John Off, as always, thank you. I'm so glad that we have another campus in Warrington.
Me too. It's been great.
And thank you so much for leading so well.
Thank you.
And if you're around the Warrington area, in Pensacola, please feel free. Check us out on the website right now. When we do gather again, we have a great, great community gathering there on Wednesday nights and also on Sunday. Guys, thank you so much. Jesus is the answer. He's not in the room right now. You may think that, but he's not in the tomb. You doubted that. Believe on him and let him and allow him to be your Lord and your Savior. See you soon.